Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network from San Antonio, Texas, on this Friday, November 1st, 2024, 1 p.m. Central Time. We'll have a few American election predictions for you that may or may not come true. We may not know, of course, and are likely not to know on election night, who has actually won this so-called presidential election. So when we get to the election night on November the 5th, we might be looking at all kinds of shenanigans going on in different so-called battleground states where we may not know the outcome for days and may never know whether or not that outcome is actually legitimate, but that's another story. We have a roadmap for you that's pretty good here as we hit the broadcast live. There are going to be a number of good additions to this roadmap over the weekend in regard to all of the different categories that have been selected. So you'll have a decent page now, a much better page, oh, say, by Sunday morning in regard to what I think are some of the best links available to you from all of my news sources that will really enable you to go back and to read at your leisure whatever you wish. Because obviously you're far more likely to remember what you've read than what you have listened to from me in this broadcast, which is why reading is very important. And I hope that you avail yourselves of the printed word, whether that's via my broadcast and all these news links, or whether you're reading a good book, or where you're trying to find a good print article someplace that explains, obviously, what the mainstream media is not only not explaining, but the downright lies that they are telling, whether it involves this election or whether it involves the Russian-Ukrainian war, whether it involves what Netanyahu is doing in Gaza and Palestine and is plotting vis-a-vis Iran. You're not going to be told the truth by CNN in regard to these things or in regard to American mainstream print media, which is why you're listening to me just for openers. And my biggest job is not necessarily what I talk about for an hour. There was a time, of course, when I was on this network, and I was on 2 hours, 5 days a week in the morning rush hour, and I had to come up then with all kinds of articles and issues and recruit guests. My involvement now, of course, is more limited in regard to broadcasting time, but it hopefully is more targeted in regard to the kinds of things that I can even do after the broadcast in regard to making sure that you're reading good sources. There are a lot of alternative sources that aren't very good. It's my job to find for you the best alternative sources on any of the subjects that come up on the show or otherwise. So let's take a look at the roadmap as we have it. The first category, American Election 2024. RT reports RFK Jr. is saying that a vote for Kamala Harris will mean a vote for nuclear war. I think that that is far more plausible than the way that that headline might sound, but I think Kennedy is absolutely serious, and I'm absolutely serious in saying that I believe that to be correct. The neocon-backed candidate, says Kennedy, would trigger an atomic conflict between the United States and Russia. When you start studying all of this stuff in terms of the various sources that I consult with videos and articles in these last 2.5 years, I'm sure Kennedy will stand by that statement. I certainly stand by it. My only difference with Mr. Kennedy is that he, in turn, is looking at the Russian-Ukrainian war, where many of the things that he is saying are entirely correct. Unfortunately, Mr. Kennedy is not at all correct in his support for Zionism, but then neither is Tulsi Gabbard, neither is Donald Trump, and their old pal Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who kind of reveals the schizophrenia of American foreign policy when it comes to not simply neoconservatism and Zionism, which are largely one and the same thing, but the way in which some of these candidates will say excellent things on war and peace as long as it does not involve the Zionist state. That's a very, very serious matter, and it's a matter that's so serious that I'll be shortly mentioning a couple of things that have been developing on the alt-right in the last couple of days that are worth your time. One's a video debate. The other one is a print article by Michael Hoffman that I caught this morning on Substack that is well worth your time. So here we go. RBN reports via Breitbart that Nolte indicates that the Atlantic's Hitler hoax is one more media plea to assassinate Donald Trump. Take a look at that story. We have posted it at the Republic Broadcasting Network and have done so via Breitbart, which is the original source for the story, because it shows you absolutely how extreme all of this is. It's so extreme that, of course, the editor of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, was once an Israeli guard in a Palestinian concentration camp, if we can use that word. And so The Atlantic has a thoroughly Zionist drenching that enshrouds it. And in this particular case, for whatever reason, you have a pro-Zionist Donald Trump who is just one inch away, as it would seem, from being tagged with every single thing that one can tag a presidential candidate with in order to incite violence against him and violence against his supporters. So whether you're looking at The Atlantic and the so-called Hitler hoax that Nolte talks about, or you're looking at this whole business of Joe Biden referring to Trump supporters as quote-unquote garbage, this is the level of to which this campaign has sunk on the Democratic side in particular, but certainly the Republicans are not without their own rhetoric on this whole issue of this campaign and who wins and who loses. Michael Hoffman, as I have already mentioned, has indicated that he has cast his ballot this time via early voting in the state of Idaho for the Constitution Party. You may recall that I was the Constitution Party's U.S. Senate candidate in the Delaware race there in 2000 against Tom Carper, the then Democrat governor of Delaware, who later became the U.S. Senator from Delaware, and the Republican incumbent William Bill Roth. In that particular case, I learned a lot about third-party politics by agreeing to run for the Constitution Party in Delaware. Sometime I might devote an entire show to that experience and the various things that I learned in 2000 that are still applicable in 2024 in regard to presidential politics and politics generally, as well as this whole business of getting involved with a third-party candidate, even if that particular candidate is an especially good one. So in this particular situation, we not only have Michael Hoffman's article for your consideration today in the roadmap, but Patrick Slattery sent me an outstanding Odyssey video. There's a three-way debate going on in this video, and we have provided the Odyssey link for you on the show roadmap on VKontakte. And this is where David Duke engages in an election debate with Kevin McDonald and Eric Stryker on the Mark Collette Show. This, I think, reflects differences of opinion within our own alt-right community over this question of who we vote for. If you haven't voted in early voting thus far, early voting through today, by the way, today's the last day of early voting in Texas. And if you've not voted yet and you're undecided in the presidential race, certainly read Hoffman, certainly consult this debate between Duke and Kevin McDonald and Eric Stryker in order to weigh and consider, as Francis Bacon used to say. I always loved Francis Bacon in terms of what I thought was the most outstanding quote in his rather storied career. He used to talk about this in terms of reading, because in those days, of course, you didn't have videos, you did not have computers, you did not have radio broadcasts and so forth and so on. But Francis Bacon was once quoted as saying, "Read not to believe and to take for granted, nor to contradict and confute, but to weigh and consider." I hope when you start talking about voting in this election, if you are going to vote, there are certain people out there saying that people of our persuasion shouldn't vote. You can weigh and consider on that. And if you do vote, weigh and consider who it is that you're going to cast your ballot for and why. And in this particular set of circumstances, weigh and consider in terms of what you come to conclude about the state of the United States in 2024 as we approach who knows what at the beginning of 2025. RBN has also posted something else that's worthwhile because it involves both Texas politics at the federal level as well as national politics, and that's the United States Senate race right here in Texas between the incumbent Senator Ted Cruz, GOP Senator Ted Cruz, and liberal leftist Democrat Colin Allred. RBN is reposting this via Emil Amani of News with Views. It is well worth your time because in this particular instance, there is a tremendous ideological gulf between these two candidates in regard to a lot of the things that the listeners of this broadcast hold dear in regard to gun ownership and borders and illegal immigration, this whole business of the transgender ideology that is creeping up in this race in terms of the Democratic contender, just a whole series of things for your consideration. And that very good print summary from News with Views and from Emil Amani has been republished by our RBN network for the courtesy of people who actually supplement their listening with reading. It's a good summation article. Now, here we are, folks. CNN, two Washington Post writers, one of whose names is Robert Kagan. That may mean something to you. They have resigned over Jeff Bezos' non-endorsement of a presidential candidate, specifically Kamala Harris. These guys have resigned, and they've now joined the rabidly Zionist, The Atlantic, that we were just talking about. That's Jeffrey Prison Camp Guard Goldman's publication. And, of course, if you like imprisoning Palestinians and doing what it takes to keep them in cages, you'll love The Atlantic. But nonetheless, these guys, including Kagan, have wound their way from The Washington Post to The Atlantic. What are the implications of this? Because the Los Angeles Times has refused, or their chief editor and or editor has refused to endorse a presidential candidate this time out. What is it that these people know that we don't? The well left of center Christianity Today, once a very fine evangelical news magazine under the tutelage of the dean of evangelical theologians in the 20th century, Dr. Carl F.H. Henry. Look up that name if you don't know who he is. You will find that he was an incredible intellect and systematic theologian and culture warrior par excellence. Dr. Henry passed away in December of 2003. I met him in Iran in 1975 when I was only 20 years old. He and his wife were coming through there. He had a speaking engagement with World Vision International, and I had an opportunity to meet him and to have dinner with him where we discussed theological education in biblical theology, biblical theism, as it were, as opposed to all of these leftist and universalistic alternatives that have now completely encapsulated most of the mainline Protestant seminaries in this country and that have encroached in what used to be a solidly evangelical educational process in different institutions around the country that would never have touched the wokeness ideology before, but where it's had some inroads in the many, many years since I met Carl Henry, including at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois, a North Shore suburb of Chicago, where I got my Master of Divinity, lo, these decades ago, and which still has some decent teachers there, but does not have the clout of the faculty that was there at the time that I was studying. That's been a passage of time over decades now. And where there is courtesy on that particular campus, some woke ideology that has wound its way into the culture of that school via an organization called Mosaic. I won't say anything about that now, but suffice it to say that when you see Christianity Today in your magazine rack at Barnes & Noble, It is not at all the publication that it was when Carl F. H. Henry was there. Suffice it to say that when you look at Christianity today, you will see a perspective that is well to the left, theologically and politically, of what used to be the case decades ago in the heyday of the publication. But they're not endorsing Kamala Harris. They're telling their readers not to vote. What is their complete rationale for this? It's a healthy thing to me that they thankfully are not endorsing Harris at a bare minimum, but they urge non-participation for the readers of their publication. Would be interesting to have them sitting down with the Bezos at the Washington Post and the top people at the LA Times to determine from these different publications' perspectives why suddenly there are some non-endorsements that are being issued, and or one of the three urges people not to vote, and where those have always been in for the last however many years, Democratic print bastions. Why the non-endorsement of Harris? They concluded, even though they don't like Trump, that she's dangerous. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But nonetheless, keep an eye on that, because there may be something significant in that that's not being entirely enumerated before the public. So let's then go on and look at something that the whole Wall Street Journal crowd will be interested in. Laura Cusisto for the Wall Street Journal has an article there today entitled "How the Anti-Abortion Movement Became a Cause Without a Candidate." It's a good article, and it explains in the euphoria on the right with the overturning of Roe versus Wade by the United States Supreme Court after half a century, the pro-life movement has suddenly seemingly become far less impactful in national elections than was once the case. In this circumstance, the Wall Street Journal columnist points out that Trump and the Republican Party have really been finessing this abortion issue in this campaign. Trump has even gone so far as to indicate his own endorsement of in vitro fertilization, something that would have been unthinkable with a so-called evangelical pro-life candidate going back to the Ronald Reagan, Jerry Falwell era. But it is what it is. Trump has also greatly softened the Republican Party's position on LGBTQ, courtesy of President Trump's endorsement and embrace of the log cabin Republicans, a move that would have been unthinkable even a quarter of a century ago, when Pat Buchanan was still an electoral force in the Republican Party in presidential primaries. Be that as it may, that's an article worth your time and consideration. This article by Ms. Cusisto for the Wall Street Journal indicates that the pro-life movement is splintered on strategy and facing state-level defeats after Trump and the GOP pull back support, wary of election liability. And, of course, that abortion issue, in terms of the so-called pro-choice perspective, has been a major feature in Democratic print ads and in Democratic Kamala Harris television ads that are running as constantly as the other party's ads have been running, especially in certain time segments. So the Democratic Party is making a pro-choice position on abortion a matter of orthodoxy for a Democratic candidate and for a Democratic voter. The Republican Party seems to be trying to finesse the issue and to talk far less about that issue than certainly would have been the case in at least Ronald Reagan's first run for the presidency that was successful in 1980. 1980, by the way, was a very long time ago, 44 years ago. It was Reagan and Carter and the Iran-American hostage situation in Iran that were dominating the news. In terms of the passage of time, can that possibly be 44 years ago? Start counting, and it still doesn't seem possible when you've reached the age that I have reached now, that could have been 4.5 decades ago. Here's a critical story that I put on the roadmap, and there's so much more that I'm going to be publishing for you over the weekend in regard to both Israel and Gaza and Lebanon and Iran that is there right now, and ditto for the Russian-Ukrainian conflict, where I will be putting up a lot of updates on things going on the battlefield, things going on in the aerial war, things going on behind the scenes diplomatically, as the United States and the EU and NATO get increasingly desperate as Putin's boys are closing in on the ground, as they now have complete, virtually complete air supremacy, and as the 1,000-kilometer line of conflict going all the way from Kupiansk in the north to the Zaporozhye region in the south, that is increasingly breaking apart, as many people predicted that it would, who actually know something about war, and aggressive attrition, the Karl von Clausewitz strategy being employed by the Russians in these last couple of years. It's working, folks. Zelensky's entire line of conflict and defense is breaking apart. The Russians have complete supremacy in the air. And we are now finding out, as we watch these events of the last couple of years, that the United States and the EU combined cannot match the military industrial production of Russia. That has been absolutely telltale in terms of the way this war has gone and is about to go. Russia has already won this war, folks. It's just a question of the final terms of the settlement. But all of this has transpired after billions of dollars put in there by the cabal running the American government and all the pro-global homo governments of the European Union, with all of the billions and billions and billions of dollars that has been financing Ukraine from the coup d'etat, illegal coup d'etat sponsored by the United States and principally in February of 2014, all the way to the beginning of the war 8 years later when Putin invaded Donbass with the so-called special military operation. From that time to now, where we are getting closer and closer to marking the third anniversary of the beginning of that conflict, billions and billions and billions of dollars later, and literally what is believed to be something like 1.8 million Ukrainian casualties in this conflict, not to mention the latest 28,000 dead in the Kursk region, which they now deeply regret ever having engaged in an incursion upon. But in this situation, we're now reading all kinds of stories about how the missiles and the armor and the air defense systems and the air defense system missiles and all the rest of it have depleted arsenals both in the United States and in these various EU countries. And, of course, that's the case there that's now showing up in terms of what they can no longer attempt to provide Zelensky. But ultimately, the real statistic is this. Ukraine is being destroyed demographically. It's being destroyed. People who can get out by the thousands have gotten out. Those not fortunate enough to have gotten out are still potentially cannon fodder for this draft on the part of the TCC. You have this other situation, of course, which continues to go badly for Ukraine in regard to ghastly levels of casualties, both dead and wounded. It's one thing to run out of bullets, one thing to run out of armor, one thing to run out of air defense equipment. It's quite another thing when you start literally running out of people. That's what's transpiring, and somehow our friends Blinken and Sullivan and Austin have to continue lying to the American public about how bad this is, how badly the American neocons and Zionists have blundered in this situation in Ukraine and with Putin, how this NATO expansion experiment, which really began in earnest under lecherous Bill Clinton, is now beginning to look like a real bad policy as the Russians have decided to stop talking and to engage in legitimate self-defense. So if Kamala Harris wins, and Russophobia continues to drive her administration to the extent that it has the Biden administration, this is where Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s comments are well taken. A vote for Kamala Harris, folks, is a vote for a nuclear war. And as I was saying to Press Television Iran last night, we had a 4.5-hour conversation that primarily dealt with German policies toward the Islamic State of Iran. But this, of course, inevitably led to a brief conversation, brief comments on my part about the larger picture in all of this as it relates to Zelensky and Netanyahu and their attempts to drag the United States into their respective conflicts. I want to underscore what I said to Press Television, and I will get a link up to that interview for you on the roadmap either later today or tomorrow. But I basically said that, hey, the United States and the neocons and Zionists that run American foreign policy, if they truly believe that they can prevail in a war that would not simply involve Iran, which is a formidable country militarily, folks, take them non-seriously, of course. They are a very, very significant military power with a lot of pride, a lot of initiative, a lot of morale. This would be an existential conflict for them if they really had to finally go to war with Benjamin Netanyahu's Israel. But in a contest that would involve not simply Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas to the extent that it exists, for the United States and the EU would suddenly, and NATO would suddenly find themselves up against Russia and China in combination with a very formidable Iran. Does anyone really believe that an American military that lost the Vietnam conflict, an American military which has been driving billions and trillions of dollars in spending just since Bush's war on terror began, and which ended up making a mess of things in Iraq, a mess of things in Libya, which has been turned back by Putin in Syria, and which was run out of town in Afghanistan in these last several years. Does anyone really believe that this American military, with a complete lack of the kind of military industrial productive capability that once characterized the United States going back to the beginning of World War II, that doesn't exist anymore, folks. And then when you add to that all of the depletions in the American military arsenal, courtesy of providing Netanyahu and especially Zelensky with all of these different weapon systems and so forth, does anyone really believe that a woke American military, in terms of domestic morale and outlook, a woke pro-LGBTQ, pro-global homo ideology imposed on the American military by people like Austin, people like Biden, and people like Clinton and Barack Obama, people like Anthony Blinken and Tony Sullivan, does anyone really believe that this American military will have the same capabilities, will have the same strength vis-a-vis its potential adversaries that the United States did in World War II? If you believe that, think again, folks, because this would result in the defeat of any last vestiges of the United States as you've ever known it, if you combined all of the factors that I've been discussing here with what may prove to be the bitter end, which is de-dollarization. I'll be back. Yeti Arnold sings for you. I'll be back shortly on the Dan Koff Report on RBN Live. Stay tuned.
The ghost riders in the sky.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First are right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next are beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames, eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to kids that hurt, but they ain't caught them yet. Cause they got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry.
Yippee-yi-yi. The Ghost Riders in the Sky. Eddie Arnold fades out. Mark Dankoff returns here on the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on this November 1st, the last day of early voting in the state of Texas. By the way, I'm not in my radio studio today. I have this jerry-rigged system going on in my car, and I'm sitting in the early voting lot here in Windcrest, Texas, just keeping an eye on people walking in and walking out and observing the different appearances, the different political paraphernalia that's on some of the cars. I notice there's a big Jeep that's parked about 20 yards away from me that has a big Los Angeles Dodgers flag. Everyone loves a winner, right? The Dodgers, as I understand it, have now clinched another World Series title against their longtime rivals, the New York Yankees. I'm old enough, by the way, to remember the four-game sweep in October of 1963, where the Dodgers defeated Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris's Yankees in four games. That was where Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale had so much dominance on the mound in that series in 1963. Johnny Podres was another one. But that was just a little more than a month before JFK was assassinated. We had the same World Series matchup that we had this year. Dodgers win this series 4-1, 61 years later. But at that time, the Dodgers won all four of those games against the Yankees. And, of course, my team was the San Francisco Giants, which the year before lost a heartbreaker to the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning in the of the seventh and deciding game in Candlestick Park in San Francisco, when Willie McCovey, with tying and winning runs aboard, hit a screaming line drive to the second baseman, Bobby Richardson, that ended the series. What no one knew at the time, of course, was that that same day is the day that the United States Air Force admitted, at least officially, that they had taken pictures of Russian missiles in Cuba, which led to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which at the time explained my dad's disappearance before the series was even finished, where he suddenly left Sacramento, California, found out years later where he was in Washington, D.C., right in the middle of that mess. And, of course, regardless of outcomes of baseball games, the United States and the Soviet Union, Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Khrushchev and the world, managed to avoid nuclear catastrophe. And now the nephew of that particular American president is telling the American people that a vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for a nuclear war with Russia. Weigh and consider very carefully, Democrats and independent voters, before you cast a ballot for this woman, just on the basis of that alone. Whether you vote for Trump or vote for another alternative, be it a Constitution Party candidate or Jill Stein, is for you to determine, of course, not me. But I would recommend to you, at a bare minimum, do not pull that lever for Harris. I think Mr. Kennedy, on that issue and that situation, absolutely speaks the truth. So let's see. Let's say a couple of things about Israel here. I'll have a lot more coverage, again, both of them, and also of the Russian-Ukrainian war that will post in the next 24 hours on your roadmap here, which I have already provided to the studio. But take a look at Patrick Lawrence for the UNS Review, Israel and its Neighborhood. That's an interview with Ambassador Charles Freeman. Don't miss that one. Our old friend Dr. Philip Giraldi, longtime CIA station chief. He was the director of security, by the way, for the Barcelona Games in the Olympics in Spain when he was still working for the CIA, I understand. But Giraldi has been a consistent and effective and responsible critic of Israel and Zionism for a long time in his occupations now with this whole business of his organization that he heads up along with Alison Weir. And that whole situation, the Council for the National Interest, continues to produce materials that the mainstream media will not let you read or listen to in regard to the catastrophe that we are not only heading in ourselves, but the catastrophe that we seem to be determined to bring on the rest of the world. When I speak of we, I'm not talking about you and I. I'm not talking about you and me, I should say, but I'm speaking about this insane neocon Zionist leadership that has absolutely hijacked this country's institutions for a very long period of time. I put up a post for VT Foreign Policy that's on your roadmap. I ran a video, very fine video, of George Galloway, the very articulate British politician, very fine gentleman, who on foreign policy issues never seems to disagree with me, which is why I like him, even though he's more intelligent and articulate than I am. And, of course, I'm sure that Mr. Galloway would be to my left on many other issues. But we see eyeball to eyeball in regard to issues like Israel and Zionism and war and peace. Galloway sees right through the fraud of what the United States has started in Ukraine. Galloway has a lot of things to say on BRICS as well. And he was present in Kazakhstan for that BRICS 2024 conference. And I was able to get the brief video that he made at that conference, just a handful of minutes. But he packed so much truth into that in a very conversational, diplomatic way that contrasts with all of these people running for political offices in this country who not only tend not to have anything to say, nothing that is particularly rational or profound, while they're doing it at decibel levels that would blow your eardrums out or mine. Galloway is anything but that. He's a joy to listen to. Take a look at that video. I basically said that that video, which Galloway recorded in Kazan, is an excellent video to combine with the eschatological perspectives of our friend Alexander Dugin, the famous Eurasian scholar, because when you combine the very fine secular analysis of Galloway with Dugin's understanding, not simply of Galloway's secular analysis, but Dugin's eschatological perspective on what's happening in the world right now and the transitions that are being made in history, those two gentlemen combined will give you a lot of insight that is well beyond anything I can do for you in regard to just how much at risk your country and mine are in, just how much at risk your family and mine are in, how much risk innocent people everywhere are in, as long as we continue allowing these lunatics controlling and financing these elections in the United States and Western Europe and in Australia and in Britain to continue getting away with. So in this particular case, I think you can watch this video and conclude very well that the Zio-American Anglo-Empire, as I've put it, and Global Homo, which is the ideological foundation of this empire, are visibly self-destructing. Now, that's the good news. They're destructing just as the petrodollar is destructing, just as BRICS is advancing inexorably. Much of this brought on, or at least sped up, by the Russian-Ukrainian war. But there's a bad side to this, folks. I just want you to be aware of it when you take a look at this video. My analysis of this for VT Foreign Policy is there's a bad news element in all of this, and that is that these globalist elites, they never stop. They never back up. They never weigh and consider. They never alter course. They're going to double down on their efforts to impose world government, a Zio world government, at the expense of nation-state sovereignties. What's the outcome of that going to be? It's going to be a Pearl Harbor or 9/11 false flag incident that precedes World War III. I'm convinced that that is the likely outcome of all of this. Will that be in conjunction with a Harris election to the presidency that's rigged, accompanied by an aftermath that's about what Robert F. Kennedy has already warned us about? That remains to be seen, of course. But what we are seeing here, and Galloway underscores it, this is a great turning point in history. The termination of this Bretton Woods hegemony and the reserve currency status of the American dollar, which usurped the British pound at the end of World War II, that's all in the process of changing. That's good for those of us who don't like empire. But the downside of this is that there's going to be a showdown, folks. I don't know precisely when or how that showdown finally comes to its fruition, but if there's going to be a showdown, it will have, as I put it here in this brief review for VT Foreign Policy, apocalyptic dimensions and outcomes. You can guarantee that that's going to happen, I think, and this is what we need to watch for. Can we prepare for this? Well, that depends on who you talk to in regard to ways that you might try to protect yourself from this, as well as your loved ones and friends. But we won't go down that path today on this show. But be aware that this is the state to which we have reached in history. This is a great turning point, perhaps the last turn in that quarter-mile dash to the finish line, where if anyone who's ever run a 440-yard dash or a 400-meter dash knows, when you come off that last turn, that's where the rubber really meets the road in terms of who really has it going in those last 110 yards or those last 100 meters. That's what I think we're dealing with in this circumstance. And my best prediction is that the United States is going to fade and fade badly, as the Western European countries are fading and fading badly in that final stretch to the finish line in terms of who ultimately is going to control history or be the dominant force in history at this particular juncture prior to what I believe will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, let's see, folks. In terms of the Russian-Ukrainian war, I could be talking. I've mentioned a little bit about the 1,000-kilometer line of conflict going all the way from Kupiansk in the north all the way down to Kherson and Zaporozhye provinces in the south, and the way in which all of that is coming apart for Zelensky. I, of course, will have some airstrike videos probably for you over the weekend, including the way in which the Odessa area is being bombed absolutely senseless, at the same time that in the Khmelnytsky region of Ukraine, the center of that country, this Starokonstantinov airfield is being constantly bombarded. And you will understand that when we start talking about logistical provisions for the Ukrainians coming from Romania, that Odessa and a town very near Odessa are a major part of that picture. In terms of the airfield in Khmelnytsky, this is where the West had planned on parking these F-16s. And those F-16s are going to be rubble if they're ever parked there in regard to the parking lot that the Russian Air Force has already made of that. And then when you look at the bombing of Kiev and all the rest of it that is transpiring on a daily and nightly basis, boy, I tell you, I could be talking about all those things militarily, but I have brought this conflict between Russia and the United States and Russia and the EU and NATO and between Russia and Global Homo down to one story today. There will be more parked over the weekend. One story today that tells you everything you need to know about the evil that is involved in this Zionist neoconservative government of the United States and all the people in NATO and the European Union that support all of these atrocities that have been committed, going all the way back to the initial expansions of NATO and Bill Clinton's bombing of Serbia in 1999. If I had to select one story for this afternoon just to run by you, and it's on the roadmap, it comes to us from RT. It's entitled, Kiev Must Suspend a Law Targeting the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. That is a quote from the Human Rights Watch. You're probably not seeing any of this on television, much less the film footage that's freely available from reputable news sites on Telegram, if you know which ones to subscribe to, that will show you what Zelensky and Budanov and the Synagogue of Satan are doing in destroying or attempting to destroy the canonical Ukrainian Orthodox Church merely because it historically has had a Russian patriarch. This involves seizure of properties. This involves intimidation and beatings of believers and priests. You can watch this stuff in the film footage, folks. It's all right there. And you can see that there is a reign of terror going on in Ukraine that is being not only sponsored and enacted by Zelensky and Kirill Budanov, who is, of course, the head of Ukrainian military intelligence, but the United States, folks, and the European Union are financing this. What does it mean? Well, it means that ultimately the CIA and the National Foundation for Democracy and people like Victoria Nuland and Robert Kagan are quite pleased to prosecute a war that is a war of aggression, an attempt to encircle Putin's Russia and to steal billions of dollars in natural resources. But all of that comes together only when you destroy individual communities in regard to their families and their faith. And when you start looking at what the Global Homo has been attempting to do with the Russian Orthodox Church within Russia in regard to George Soros and the Open Society Foundation and those minions being involved in financing Pussy Riot and these desecrations of the Russian Orthodox Cathedral in Moscow, all the way to what is now going on in Ukraine. with the United States CIA buys Bartholomew II, an Orthodox patriarch in Istanbul / Constantinople, who has no canonical authority historically and legally in Ukraine whatsoever. But that doesn't matter to the CIA and the American State Department. James Jotberth has already been telling us about this. But it involves persecuting and destroying and incarcerating and killing believers, Ukrainian Orthodox Church believers in Ukraine, courtesy of your local Jewish drag queen comedian. I'll be back.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hemp Paste by MyNutra. Why is hemp paste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hemp paste. Hemp paste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away.
Broadcasting Network on this November 1st. We began at 1 p.m. Central Time. We're beginning to wind down toward 2 p.m. Central Time. I wanted to apologize to several people that I couldn't work into the show. Next week, I might be back in my studio where I can see my own studio screen and messages coming in, which will definitely help in that process. I've got the floor laid down now. The electronics will return at some point and be reattached. The walls have been repainted in that studio, and I should maybe be good to go in a week from today in regard to doing my live broadcast in my more normal location. The roadmap, of course, we were talking about Zelensky's persecution of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. I'm going to put some film footage up on that over the weekend so that you can see this for yourself in regard to what your government is supporting, with the idea in mind that it's not simply what your government is supporting in regard to the persecution of Russian Orthodox believers, but it is involved as well with what that government, particularly if there is a victory for Harris, what that government plans for you. If you are a Christian believer of note, and if you and your congregation don't go along with the ideology of global homo and the New World Order, these beatings of believers, these incarcerations and beatings of priests, which are all available on film, might be your future and the future of your Christian congregation anywhere in the United States if these fanatics that are involved in the New World Order and Zio World Government get their way. The long and the short of it is that I'll have a book review available for you, hopefully in the next week, which addresses this whole subject of opposing this by force. Let me close. We'll have some culture and some book reviews up for you on the roadmap here in the next 24 to 36 hours. I'll close out this broadcast with what I think is the article of the week. Constantine von Hofmeister for Geopolitica. Why Donald Trump is a mystical figure of historic proportions. Von Hofmeister says that the significance of the former and potentially future U.S. president is not in the man himself, but in the archetype he embodies. For his supporters, Donald Trump is a bulwark of traditionalism and a champion of America first. For his detractors, he is a disruptive, deceitful agent of chaos. But a more philosophical approach frames him as a key figure in an eldritch struggle with deep-seated forces of decay. Esoteric Trumpism, says von Hofmeister, is a profound, almost mystical interpretation of Donald Trump's political journey, situating him not merely within the framework of contemporary politics, but as a figure of cosmic and world historical significance. This interpretation posits that Trump's rise and continued influence reflect deeper metaphysical catalysts at play in the twilight of Western civilization, as predicted by the historiographer Oswald Spengler in the 1920s and 30s. What is Spengler's cyclical theory of history? Read the article and you'll find out, folks. As for Tuesday night, my prediction is that we won't know Tuesday night who has so-called won this election. Might take some days afterward with domestic chaos potentially to follow, and with world conflict almost assuredly to follow in 2025. God bless you. I'll post my press television interview with you on this roadmap, and I'll see you 1 week from today on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Be sure to vote, or not to vote, as the case may be. Take care. See you next week.
Going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.